Good morning. And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the third Sunday in Lent. It's a blessing to be in the house of our Lord as we continue on in our time of meditation and preparation for our Lord's Passion. If you are a guest or visiting with us, we're especially glad you're here, along with all of our members. And we do ask that you would fill out the attendance card you can find in your pews. Our ushers do collect them as they collect the offering midway through our service. Order of service for this morning is Divine Service Setting 2, beginning on page 167 within our hymnal. And so we sing now our first hymn, hymn 425, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for the joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and in your house, ever singing your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregations of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I, who speak to you, am he. This is the gospel of the Lord. And now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. From the very beginning of creation, the importance of water is clear. The Spirit of God was present there at the moment of creation, hovering over the surface of the deep, the surface of the waters. Four rivers were said to surround the entirety of the beautiful Garden of Eden. Of course, we know that water is essential for all human life. We use it for drinking, for cooking, for cleaning, even for recreation. Up to 60% of our bodies is made up of water. We can only go a few days without that substance, or serious dehydration will set in, which can lead then to death. God used water to cleanse the earth of all sin when he sent the waters of the flood. The Hebrew people needed to pass through the water of the great Red Sea in order to get fully away from their captors, the Egyptians, who were drowned in those returning waters. A pillar of cloud guided the Israelites through the wilderness in the daylight hours. And when the Israelites were beleaguered by great thirst in the desert, God told Moses to strike the rock. And what a remarkable event that moment must have been. Moses heard the instruction of Yahweh, and he followed his command. He took the staff with which he had struck the Nile River, turning those waters into blood. And he then struck the rock at Horeb. What exactly did that mean? You've likely heard the story before, but how did it actually unfold? The mountain of Horeb was also known as Mount Sinai, the holy mountain of God. And Moses there saw the pre-incarnate Son of God in the burning bush, kicking off his work as the Redeemer of God's people. Moses then would go back to Sinai later on and receive the Ten Commandments along with all of the instruction of God. And so here, at the rock of Horeb, Moses struck that rock with his staff, and water came out of it. Do you remember how many Hebrews there were that came out of Egypt? Were there in the wilderness at Horeb? The exact number, of course, is not known, but it was hundreds of thousands of people, likely even over 1 million. That is an overwhelming amount of people that were all moving together throughout the entirety of a wilderness. Moses wrote that they moved in stages. Not much more is known than that. Now, if each of those people were to drink only 8 ounces of water, it would take 62,500 gallons of water for 1 million people. Now, if you take your shower and run that water nonstop for over 20 hours, you would get to that number of water. So what God worked through Moses there in the wilderness at the Mount of Horeb was quite the scene, quite the miracle. Hundreds of thousands of people were given enough water to survive a fairly short amount of time. And in his first letter to the church in Corinth, Paul makes an amazing connection to the presence of water for the Israelites. Our fathers were under the cloud, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock, Paul says, was Christ. The rock was Christ. Paul there states that Christ himself was present with the Israelites throughout the Old Testament. And there he was with them in the wilderness. It was Christ who brought them through the Red Sea. And it was Christ who gave them water from the rock. Now that is what the Lord Jesus had in mind. In today's gospel text from John chapter 4, it is the familiar story of the woman at the well. And John there uses the word for necessity. It is necessary when he said that Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Jesus, as the rock, the source of living, moving water, knows that he has come for the salvation of all people. Now, normally when Jews from Galilee in the north would head south to Jerusalem for great celebrations, they would take the more direct route through Samaria, eager to get to Jerusalem, the holy city, as quickly as possible. However, the return trip, being more leisurely, would often lead them out over the Jordan River to the east so as to avoid the country of Samaria. But here, Jesus is seen as leaving Judea in the south, heading back north to Galilee, and decides to go through Samaria. He opts to do so, knowing that he is indeed the Savior of all the world. And he longs to bring his kingdom, his message of salvation, to them there as well. And so near the town of Sychar in Samaria, Jesus stopped to rest, and his disciples proceeded into the city to secure food. A Samaritan woman came out to draw water from Jacob's well, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now, John is the one who clues us into the fact that Jews would have no dealings whatsoever with Samaritans. So the woman rightly asks, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" People of Samaria were not pure descendants of Jacob. Their ancestors had intermarried with Canaanites, the cursed people of the Promised Land, following their conquering by the Assyrians. Jews looked down upon the less pure Samaritans, and the Samaritans in turn cared very little for their distant relatives. But to Jesus, the Son of God and the Rock of Life, none of that mattered. All people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All people are sinners and are in need of saving. All people thirst for the pure spiritual water that only Jesus can give. And that is what Jesus tells this woman. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." What is that gift of God? Truly, it is the gift of faith, that through Jesus comes forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation. That holy triad is a gift given through the Lord Jesus. And so knowing who it is that speaks those words, knowing who Jesus is everything. To this woman, Jesus was merely another Jew. She had no clue why he would be talking in the way that he was. She knew that their father Jacob had given them that well, and they held him in high honor and high regard as the Jews would hold Moses and Abraham. Did Jesus think that he himself, a Jew at that time in that place, was greater than Jacob? Little did that woman know. "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus was that spring of water that was given to the Israelites
in the wilderness. Jesus as the rock was more than enough for all the Hebrews to have their fill, to quench their thirst. And Jesus as the living water is more than enough for all people to have their life and their salvation in Him. After instructing then the woman to go and call her husband to share the good news, Jesus reveals the woman had had many husbands. The woman then believes Jesus to be a prophet at that time. And Jesus goes on to tell the woman that salvation for all people must come from the Jews, but that true worshipers of the Christ will come from everywhere. The woman then confesses her belief that indeed the Christ will come, and when he does come, he will tell them all things. Jesus then speaks those powerful words, "I, who speak to you, am he." It does not get much clearer than that, nor more perfect, except that it does. In the Greek, this is an I am statement of the Lord Jesus. John himself records the Greek translation of the holy divine name of Yahweh. Jesus said, "Ego a me, I myself am," the Greek translation of the divine name, Yahweh, the one speaking to you. The woman proceeded to report this good news to all who were there in her village. And the event ends with many Samaritans believing in Jesus as the Savior of the world. Jesus is the living water. He gives life to all through his word. Dead in trespasses and sins, the people of the world are in need of that living water. Jesus is the rock from which the liquid water came to the Hebrews. And likewise, Jesus is the rock from which comes the spiritual water for all people. All believe, all who do believe in him have that water welling up within them to life everlasting. And the waters of baptism poured out upon you freely continue to cover you and give you that life. Baptism has washed you with the water from the rock who is Christ himself. And upon the tree of the cross, the side of the Savior was pierced. What flowed was blood and water. Water from the rock of Christ, riven upon the cross. The rock is Jesus. The living water is Jesus. And Jesus, the Christ, pours himself out freely through his holy word. With the Samaritans, we then rightly say and confess, we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Yes, yes, it is so. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to confess the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom. Teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood,
which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do
as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We stand to sing the post-communion hymn. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
You may be seated. Special thank you to our Alleluia Ringers. Lent, but it's the handbell choir. Alleluia Ringers for their playing this morning before our service. And of course, then during our offering, we give thanks to God for their talents and for the beautiful music that they are able to supply. We do have our next Eat Night for our school tomorrow. That's at Texas Roadhouse. Flyers are available on the table as you exit the sanctuary here this morning. That goes from, I think, 3 p.m. all the way through 10 p.m. So you can join us for that for good food and fellowship for the benefit of our school. The new member class that does meet this afternoon at 1 o'clock will meet in the overflow. In case you would like to join us for that, there will be a luncheon going on following the baptism at our second service, so we'll meet in the overflow for the new member class. Easter lilies are available for donation. If you'd like to donate those for the celebration of Easter, fill out the pink form that you can find there. There's a bag that you can put them in on the table as you exit the sanctuary here this morning. Lenten devotional books continue to be available there on that table as well. Do have midweek Lenten services this week, 3:30 and 7:15, with a meal provided by our school board. So if you'd like to join us for that, please do feel free to do so. Next Sunday, my family and I will not be here as our kids are swimming in the state swim meet, so we're blessed for that. A little embarrassment, sorry about that. But Pastor Rich Salcido will be here from Paris, Illinois, and he will take the services and Bible class on that day. So we give thanks to God for his presence here. Look forward to greeting him in the name of our Lord. We'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. We go forth in the name of our Lord to our education hour, to our fellowship in the...